The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may welcome, excuse me, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Amen.
Amen.
Mary, seed of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our reading. Of the letters, I
Yes.
believe we are in 121.
Entry number 121. My good daughter, I beg you to live always in the divine will. I pray Jesus will seal it in your mind, on your lips, in your heartbeat, in the movements of your hands, and even in your breath. This fiat wants to be prime act of all of our acts, both natural and spiritual. And when we call it, even in our little acts, it feels recognized by the creature. It makes feast and in a delirium of love says, "The creature called me. She gave me the first place, so I can place in her acts my sanctity, my love, my likeness." And it wants to give also its beauty and wisdom. It wants to give of its own, but it wants to be called. When it is called, it makes itself known. When it is known, it makes itself possessed and loved. Therefore, be attentive, my daughter. When dear Jesus wants to give, he asks in order to prepare the space in which to place his gifts, his light, his graces in our hearts. I conclude by leaving you in the divine volition, on the paternal knees of God to receive his life and his continuous likeness in such a way as to be able to say, "I am copying Jesus." Enclosing you in the heart of Jesus, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Okay. You know, it may seem a little bit repetitive, but you know that even part of teaching is just repetition and repetition. And as we know, Luisa Vigoretta here, she is teaching to different people. So we are reading all the letters to different people, not only one person. So that's why we encounter over and over the same teaching that she is giving to different people. But one of the things that we see here in this letter, and I hope you can see it also, you have your text there. It is beneficial you have your text there because you can follow also, not only to listen, but to make notes. And this is another way to assimilate the teaching of the divine will that Luisa Picaretta has given us. What she's saying to us is that the divine will wants to be called. The divine will wants to be called. Why? Because remember, the king of all kings will not impose himself in our hearts. And we can see this through many different revelations, the revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He complains to Sister Margaret Alacoque that he is not love enough. And He wants to be called, he wants to be enthroned. And it is the same with the divine will. The divine will wants to be enthroned in each one of us. The divine will wants to be called, wants to be recognized, wants to be acknowledged. And what Luisa Picaretta says here that the divine will wants to be called. When it is called, the divine will makes itself known. And then when the divine will is known, then it makes itself possessed. Notice that it is the divine will that does everything. We just have to call it, basically to give room, to give permission, to allow the divine will, to provide the field for the divine will to operate in us. One of the images that come to mind is, and we see this in other part of the Book of Heaven, that he uses this image. But when you go to a theater, when you go to a play, you see that in order for the actors, in order for the play to begin, you need the platform, you need the stage. So the divine will needs that stage to begin. And the stage basically is the soul. And we know that the soul possesses the will. So once we call the divine will to operate in our hearts in every single little act, then the divine will makes itself known to all of us. And then a little by little, we possess it. Remember that also another important aspect of this way of living is that it's not only to do God's will. Because even in the Old Testament, they did God's will when they followed the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the written will of God for all the human race, for all the baptized. But it's different to do the will of God than to possess it. Our Lord Jesus and the Blessed Mother are the perfect examples. Our Lord Jesus possessed the kingdom of the divine will operating in his soul by nature. He did the will of God by obeying and following the law. I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So he did both. He did the will of God. And he possessed the will of God by his nature. The Blessed Mother, the same. She did the will of God by following the Ten Commandments, by being a devout Jew at the time. And then she possessed the kingdom of divine will in her soul by grace given to her as a prevenial grace that was needed for her mission to be the mother of the Redeemer. So that our Lord will have a worthy place where to descend. So that's the Blessed Mother. But for us, the kingdom of heaven has to be basically by choice. Or I mentioned in other times, this has to be by participation. But unless we become little and we become nothing, the kingdom of God cannot grow in us, cannot be implanted. It's like a seed. If it doesn't fall in rich soil, it will not produce. The sun will choke it. The heat will choke its life. It will not produce. But how do we come little? How do we become little? Basically, by doing something that most of the people, they are not willing to do. And this may sound a little bit harsh, so I'm warning you. Because to climb the spiritual ladder of the divine will and to keep moving up to ascend, we need to be little. How do we become little? In two ways. First one, by age. The innocent, the purity of the children, of the innocent. And second, by choice. Second, by choice, by submitting ourselves to the will of God out of love for Him. Then, only then, only by being united with His will, we can possess then the kingdom of heaven operating in our souls, which is the gift of the divine will operating in our souls. And then, once we acquire that, then only then can one be truly, truly happy and satisfied in this earth. How do we become little so that the kingdom of the divine will that Luisa Picarreta is talking about, so that when we call it and when we call that kingdom to operate in us, it may find its place it may find primacy in our soul. It may be the prime act of all our acts. Again, this requires hard work. That if you want to possess this gift, you need to do the work, and only each one of us can do it. What is the work that we need to do? What the church teaches us, to look inside, to look within our souls, and to see what are the things that do not belong to God. So basically, the seven deadly sins, if there is malice, if there is envy, if there is jealousy, if there is greed, if there is lust, if there is laziness, if there is gluttony, all of these things that are the consequence of losing the gift of the divine will. These are only consequences that we acquire when Adam and Eve lost the gift. It's not natural for us to have this spiritual infirmities, we can call it. Sometimes we focus too much in the physical healing, but what about the spiritual healing? So, unless we do that hard work, and this again, only each one of us individually can do it. And we, in a way, do it when we go through the Ten Commandments, which is the written will of God for all of us. We examine ourselves through the Ten Commandments. We examine ourselves, our conscience, before we go to confession. And then, when we receive that peace, the absolution that God gives us, then our soul is prepared to receive that gift. That gift is ready to be implanted. Then, when we call that gift to operate in us, then it's ready to grow in each one of us, even in the smallest act of breathing, of our heart beating, or just being. So we begin to function as God intended all of us to to be. Is to praise, to glorify Him, which is basically the first line of the Our Father. Hallowed be thy name, may your name be glorified, yes, by me existing, being. And then may the gift of the divine will be possessed. May I possess it in my soul. See, this is so important because to have in mind, because, you know, even when we are in the state of grace and we study these divine truths, when we read the book of heaven and we encounter all that our Lord Jesus is giving us here, we see that even our intellect is ready to receive. And even the guardian angels that we all have assigned, they can do their work in us even more easily. Why? Because the angels, their ministry is to worship God forever before the throne of God, to worship and to obey Him, to be messengers. But as they worship the eternal majesty, as they worship God, the Blessed Trinity, they gather what the Blessed Trinity emanates, which is the Blessed Trinity exudes beauty, love, light, fire, everything that the Blessed Trinity is. So they just gather, and they, being spiritual beings clothed in light, they are able to fill us even with their own light that they possess because it comes from God, and they are able to transmit to us that fire that they gather as they worship the eternal throne of God, to set our souls on fire, to kindle our souls and to give light to our intellect and to fill us with so much light. So they even by living in this way, they are, by us living in this way, even the angels can also fulfill their office in us. Or I should say, God fulfilling His plan even through the angels. Because then we are disposed, we are ready to receive that. That's why we must not waste any act. Our Lord Jesus, He wants us to call the divine will. We saw that in the famous passage of volume 29, that we must recall, remember, and offer. So in the same way, we must call the divine will to operate in us over and over and over mentally. If you need it to do vocally, verbally, you can do it. There is no rule that says you must do it in this way, on that way, on this way, on. As long as you have that constant awareness that you want the divine will to operate in you, as long as you have that intention, and as long as you keep in mind that the divine will wants to operate in you and that you are that field, that space, that the soul is the place through which this gift operates. And as Luisa Picaretta says here, therefore be attentive, my daughter, when dear Jesus wants to give, He asks in order to prepare the space in which to place His gifts, His light, His graces in our hearts. Even the angels are able to fulfill their ministry towards us when we are prepared, when we prepare that field. So let's keep that in mind. Let us recognize always and always the divine will, and let us be attentive, as Luisa Picarreta asked in this letter. Let's move on the second letter for today.
Entry number 122. In order to possess a good, it is necessary to know it. Knowledge makes one love and appreciate the good possessed. It makes us rise again in the known good. It gives us divine likeness. So, every additional act we do in the divine will is one more divine likeness that we receive. And Jesus loves us so much as to endow us with his love, his sanctity, his light, and perennial peace. And he declares us his legitimate children. Therefore, let us pray and let us never allow the divine will to escape us, both in small and in great things, both in spiritual and in natural things, because everything is of God, and it is right that we recognize the divine will as prime act in everything. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You see this, she mentions again this necessity for us to recognize the divine will as the prime act, meaning as the first movement in everything we do, as the source of everything. Or the divine will should have always the first place in us. And this is not only in the physical acts, but in the spiritual things also. So both the spiritual, natural, physical, and spiritual. And when she says the prime act, also another thing that we have to keep in mind, that from now on, we have to have in mind that everything we do, first of all, has to be for the glory and praise of God. Hallowed be thy name. Just remember the first line of the Our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Everything is to glorify God. May God be glorified through the simple beeping of my heart. May he be glorified that through the simple blinking of my eye, may it be a voice that is constantly saying, thy kingdom come, calling the divine will to descend. And also that the third basically intention is that everybody be benefited. And all the human race from Adam to the last may benefit. How will they benefit? We don't even know. And we, in a way, we don't have to know. Because God is just, His justice. And He will give to everyone according to his or her disposition, according to his or her capacity. And of course, we can always pray for ourselves and ask for our personal needs. But in that order, first of all, may everything we go through be for the glory of God, for the coming of the kingdom, for the good of all the human race, and then for our own sanctification, for our own healing, for our own needs. So in a way, you see what it really means to be a little daughter, a little son, a little child of the divine will. I hope you have been reflecting on this. I think I posed that idea while some time ago. I hope you have been reflecting on that, and as we move on in these letters, you get the idea. Why Luisa Picaretta is being called the little daughter of the divine will, and why she is the first daughter of the divine will. Of course, we are talking about the first daughter born in original sin. The Blessed Mother is totally in another category. She is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She is the mother of our Lord Jesus. And she is the daughter of the divine will. She's not the little daughter of the divine will. She's the daughter of the divine will, the queen of the divine will. Luisa Picaretta is the first little daughter. And as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in 381, there will be many, many brothers and sisters coming after Christ. Many little children of the divine will, many little daughters of the divine will. But you see, you get the idea now what configuration has to have interiorly. And I hope you can see now the hard work that we all have to do. So this is a process. It's a process because it's like conversion. It doesn't happen just once. It's a continual process. A continual conversion. So it's metanoia, change of mind, moving forward, climbing. The way you can see it is climbing the spiritual ladder. And never stop climbing that ladder. The moment we are content, we're just doing the minimal, we stop growing in. And this gift is immense. We can say it's infinite because the will of God is infinite. It has no limits. And it's being given to us through the writings of Luisa Picaretta that we may begin operating with this gift as the saints operate in heaven. But the more merit to us, because we can obtain merit by just doing it and believing it by faith. They already see that, so they cannot gain any merit. Let's continue with the next letter.
Letter number 123. My good lady, if we do the divine will, it carries us in its arms. He himself descends in all our acts to place in them his sanctity, his love, his strength, his light, and he becomes our refuge and our life. So there is nothing we should fear. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Very short, very concise, right? He wants to descend in our acts. For what? To place everything that he is, everything that he is, all his divine attributes in us. In a way, we also become the refuge of the divine will, because the divine will wants to come and live in the creature. The divine will wants to find its proper and rightful place in us. So let's move it to the next letter.
Entry number 124. My good daughter in the divine volition, I recommend that you never move away from the divine will. Live always in its maternal arms, like a baby in the arms of her mother. Place your sufferings in its maternal hands, that it may use them to make you a saint and to do good to all creatures. How happy you will feel thinking that your sufferings serve to save souls, to console Jesus, to kiss his wounds, to tell him that you love him. In every pain you suffer, tell Jesus to bring you his love. Love him always, and Jesus will be wounded by your love and will love you more. Think that every pain you suffer is an I love you, a kiss, an affection, a hug that Jesus sends to you. In this way, you will feel strength in your sufferings and the joy which the pain suffered for Jesus bring. May the divine will be your dwelling, your food, your life. May the continuous word on your lips be, I want to do your will and live in it. In this way, you will feel strengthened and the pains you suffer will be sweetened. I leave you in the divine will to make yourself a saint. Corrado, November 13th, 1943. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. The only wounds that we are allowed to give to our Lord is wounds of love. He's wounded, yeah, with the love of the creature, in a way, as Luisa Picarreta says. In every pain, suffering, tell Jesus to bring you his love. Love him always, and Jesus will be wounded by your love. So this is the only way we are allowed to wound our Lord Jesus with our love. And in return, he will love us even more. This idea that he will love us more. God loves all the human race with the same intensity and with the same love that he loves one single soul. But what we mean by this, that he will love us more, is that he will be able to unleash that love and we will be able to receive it. Why? Because then we have the capacity. We have the capacity. That's what it means, that he will love us more. Meaning that he will be able to unleash more of what he is. And we will be able to receive more, because then our souls will have the space, they will have been prepared to receive all the love that God wants to give us constantly, constantly, over and over and over. Just look at the life of the Blessed Mother. Remember and those words of the salutation of the angel that we find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Full of grace. The Blessed Mother was overflowing with everything that God is, with beauty, with love, sanctity, everything that God is. She was exuding so much light. That, of course, for the physical eye is difficult to see, but the spiritual eye is able to see. So we have to see, in a way also to learn to see what God was doing in the humanity of our Lord Jesus, what The divine will was doing in the humanity of our Lord Jesus. And it is difficult for us to see it simply because we are again restrained and in this humanity of ours. But this humanity that we have is the humanity that we inherit after the fall, is not what God intended at the beginning. Again, in order for this kingdom to be implanted, and in order for this kingdom to be understood, for these divine truths to be understood, we must become little again. Because the truth descends, like those seeds on the good soil again. And the Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, pours upon those seeds the light that makes those seeds take root where? In our hearts, in our souls, in our intellect, to be understood and to grow more and more. In a way, it is truly our Heavenly Father preparing our souls through these gifts, through these truths, through the sacraments, our Lord Jesus, preparing the soil of this, of the souls of these children that want to hear the message of our Heavenly Fathers, the little children, the little ones, by age or by will, by becoming little, so that the Father can rejoice in us by unleashing all that he is in us may become the joy of our Heavenly Father, the true children of the divine will now. So, this is again hard work that we all have to do, but it remains up to each one of us if we want to do this hard work or not, or if we just want to remain in the same place. But remember, the saints, they always were seeking to climb the spiritual ladder. They were never content. Why? Because as the soul expands more and more and more, you have more capacity to receive. So that thirst, it's a holy and divine thirst that, in a way, is never quenched because the fountain begins expanding and expanding and continues to expand and expand in us. But at the same time, God fills that fountain in us, our soul overflowing with everything that He is, everything that He is. Filling the intellect with light to be able to understand, using the messengers, the instruments, the angels as his instruments, his messengers that will give us light to our intellect, that will give us that fire that they gather around the throne of God to enkindle our souls also with so much love for God. So one day may be able to see, to understand how the divine will operated in our soul, and we may, excuse me, how the divine will operated in the person of our Lord Jesus, and how the divine will wants to operate in us. So we have to learn in a way to see the God who is within the man Jesus, the God who is within the man Jesus, and that God who is within the man Jesus, within the humanity of Jesus, wants to enter in our humanity, not by nature, but by will. By us calling it, learning about it, loving it, and then preparing the dispositions that we need to prepare. Once we prepare the dispositions, he will do everything. He is the one who will cause everything to grow in us. But the dispositions, we have to do that hard work. And even though, you know, so there are many people that they have been reading and studying this gift for a lot of time, but many of them, they are not willing to go deeper and deeper and deeper and to look within themselves and to say, to examine themselves through the seven deadly sins and to say, I need to grow in this. I need to grow more in this virtue. Remember that there are virtues that are not given to us. The virtues that are given to us are the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. The gifts that are given to us is knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and the rest in the sacrament of confirmation. But the moral virtues, we have to acquire them by our constant work. Again, by looking within ourselves and to ask the grace to be more patient, to be more just, to be more prudent, to have temperance, to have courage, all of them. And those will enlighten our souls. Those will prepare also our souls to receive this gift and for the gift to be implanted and to grow and to flourish for the praise and glory of God. Then we will become real and true divine magnets, calling the divine will, hastening the kingdom of divine will to descend upon earth, as we read in this last letter, for the good of all creatures. We don't even have to know what each one of them they receive. That's irrelevant for this purpose, because the most important thing here is the order, that he may be glorified. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May it be for the good of all my brothers and sisters. Finally, for my own sanctification, for my healing, and so on. This is the order that we see even in the Our Father, when our Lord Jesus in volume 14, he comments about the three breads of the Our Father. He refers, first of all, he says the first bread that I'm talking about there is the bread of the divine will, the most important one. Then the second one, he says, the sacramental bread, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the real presence in the Eucharist. And then lastly, yes, we pray for the physical bread, to have enough for our physical sustenance. So now you can see, in a way, the order of things. And if we keep this in mind, I assure you that the divine will flourish in each one of our hearts, our souls. You will see that you will be able to understand a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. A very important element that advances us also in the divine will is something that perhaps we have forgotten, and but the church is still teaching this, to fast a little bit. You don't have to do tremendous fasting. The church has different ways of fasting, but to prepare our souls in that way, you know. If you go to Mass in the morning, you can begin your fasting with in that morning with the Eucharist. Then maybe just have a little bit of soup and salad for lunch, just enough to sustain you, and drink a lot of water. And then offer your fasting with dinner to have a modest dinner. Because this will help us also climb faster the ladder of the spiritual life. And we see that our Lord even tells the disciples when they come back and they say after their mission, we couldn't expel this and that demons. Why? The Lord says, because some of them, they require much prayer and fasting. You go to Mass in the evening, then begin your day and do small fasting. You know, just have a little bit of something to eat in the morning and then drink a lot of water during the day and break your fasting with the Eucharist at night. Most of the ch some of the churches, they have Mass at 7 p.m. or 5 p.m. or whatever it is, so you break your fasting with that, and then you have your dinner and you offer it. So that's one way that we can do it. You don't have to do it, but it will help a lot as a way to prepare to dispose your souls to receive this gift. And also when fasting, you know, repeating ourselves to ourselves, not only of bread and water that men live, but from every word that comes from God. Not only of bread and water that man lives, but from every truth that comes from the divine will. And I will even suggest to read the Book of Heaven when you fast. Ask the Lord to enlighten you. Ask the guardian angel, your guardian angel, to fill you with the light. Because the angels, they are pure spirits, pure light, to enkindle in your heart that fire that he possesses, and to bring the fire that emanates and exudes, that overflows from the throne of God, and to place it in your heart. So the more you learn how to do your acts and the divine will, and the more you read, you will see that this gift is so immense that it really has no end. But the immensity of the gift is just amazing. Let us finish with the last letter for today, 125.
Entry number 125. My good daughter in the divine volition, I too remember the goodness of your sister. May the Lord keep her in paradise, and may she pray for us. You will certainly not neglect to make holy masses be celebrated for her soul. And then, with the loss of your sister, you have not remained alone. With you is Jesus, the celestial mama, and maybe even the soul of your sister. Therefore, pluck up courage, and if you want to become a saint and to please Jesus more, enclose yourself in the holy will of God. Hold it as more than your own life. May it be your continuous food, your refuge, your help, your strength. It will hold you in its arms as a little daughter. Unite your pains together with those of Jesus, that they may be missionaries throughout the world, just like the pains of Jesus. And you too will feel happy, my daughter. Jesus wants you always together with him. He does not want to be alone in order to make of you whatever he wants. It is sure that when we are together with Jesus, He loves us more, and he fulfills his designs upon us. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Okay, we will close with this letter, just commenting, taking this encouragement from Luisa Picaretta that if each one of us want to be a saint and to please our Lord, which I believe we all want this. To please our Lord, to be saints, meaning to enjoy the beatific vision, to give our life, our will to the Lord, to place it over and over and over and never get tired of just repeating this act again, over and over and over and over, to submit our will to the Lord. In there, we will find really our refuge, our strength, and the way the Lord will protect us again is by offering everything that we go through, especially during the Mass. As the priest elevates the host, remember now that each one of you, each one of us, is an offering. Now, there are no more sacrifices of bullets, no more sacrifices of pigeons, of lambs. Now we become the sacrifice together with the eternal Lamb of God, who is Jesus. We just have to unite ourselves to his sacrifice for us to become an offering with him. And in that way, we are fulfilling again that call that the church asks us to do in the Catechism of the Catholic Church 358. That many people they just overlook. That we have to give everything, that we have to offer back to God everything, and that includes us, ourselves. So, with that in mind, let us renew our intention to give ourselves to the divine will. Let us renew our intention to belong to the divine will and to do everything for the glory of God, for the kingdom to descend, for the good of everybody, and finally for our own sanctification. May the Holy Spirit fill us with his grace. May our guardian angels protect us with the divine light that emanates from them. May the guardian angels enkindle in our hearts the fire of love by putting in our hearts that fire that they gather from the eternal throne of God. And may Mary, our mother, protect us, defend us. May the precious blood of our Lord Jesus be poured upon each one of us during this month of July, dedicated to the most holy, precious blood of Jesus. And may God bless us in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.